Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, but, Crawford
said this?
Is really...
This texter. Just like Les is calling and giving traffic reports.
Oh, a texter said that?
Cool. You know why? Because Les cares about mankind.
Les Grobstein discussion has famously popped up on just about every show on the score in the last 10 years. It's always been a race to, hey, did you hear what Grobber said? Who's got the Grobber stuff? And that was Dan Bernstein and Terry Bors of the Bors and Bernstein Show discussing Les Grobstein, and they used to have a ball playing some of the great Les Grobstein takes, rants, discussions, weirdness. It's all part of the Les Grobstein package. As we welcome you back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, this is the Bernstein and Rahimi Show, along with Rick Camp. I am Mark Grody, and we certainly are celebrating the life of Les Grobstein today, who did pass away yesterday at the age of 69. Dan Bernstein, who, of course, hosts the show 9 to noon every day on The Score, is out there doing that hockey right now with his son. But, Dan, I definitely wanted to have you on. You've been around Les for a long time and have a keen ear on the Grobstein pulse. Thanks for coming on with us, Dan. What's on your mind right now about Les Grobstein?
Well, I've been listening much of the morning, and you guys are doing a wonderful job encapsulating something that's very, very difficult to encapsulate. And
yes.
There's several things stand out to me. First and foremost, the number of current and former score producers who lived the Grobstein life, for whom a big city live overnight shift was their entry for many, their first either full-time or regular part-time experience. And when you have a guy like Les, who was as kind as he was, it starts people out on the right foot, and you hear it. You hear it from Rick and from, man, and Nick and Mike Rankin, man, and Larry Libman and Lawrence Holmes and any number of people. That's a really important legacy. That's a really that is a significant thing in a place that was as important to Les as Chicago. One of the most important things he may have done for the city is incubate so much radio talent and so many important radio people. Whether that was his intention or not, it ended up being that. So that is remarkable, and it's something that I hope he appreciated in life. And if their names haven't been mentioned yet too, that contiguous with my radio career, the reason Grobstein has had his opportunities here is because of Ron Gleason and Mitch Rosen. And their appreciation, almost a fraternal appreciation, in that Ron was part of Sports Phone. And for those of us who used to call 936-1313 and 976-1313 and had our angry dads waving a phone bill and said, what's this for $55 a month in Sports Phone charges? That was because of Schuster and Grobber and Gleason and Huebner and Offman and Tom Green and Steve Olkin and any number of those people connected to Sports Phone. And for Mitch to be a product of overnight local radio with Eddie Schwartz, to understand that, to appreciate what it means. It doesn't make any damn money. And we're a publicly traded company. We are beholden to shareholders and bosses and all that. But it was all, there was always a place carved out for the oddity that was Les Grobstein, because he mattered in that way to people. And that's why where the wonderful John Greenberg talked about his listeners as shut-ins and drunks, that may be.
Yeah.
But maybe aliens, you know, Les was a place where it was okay to be you. It was okay to be weird. It was okay to be off. It was okay to be that overnight time when major radio, even as we became corporate, when major radio didn't have to care about making money and it was just a place that was very, very human. You ask about what was the why.
Yeah.
The why it was. Humanity, you know, the guy was just a real person. He was imperfect and beyond quirky, but that was a real, everything you heard was real. I feel like that I'm parroting much of what I said when Doug Buffone passed away about people say, I felt like I knew him. It's because you did, you know, you can't fake that. You can't. That's not a bit. It's not an act. Nobody can do that character. And to me, a lot of this is sadly an elegy for an aspect of our business that may never be again.
And one thing to go along with, like, the producer aspect of, because obviously I lived it, so it rings true to me, is going into it, you get into the industry like, okay, every show's got to be like if I was doing a main daytime part. And working with Les at first, you're like frustrated because you're like, what the hell is this? And then you just realize, you kind of like learn the novelty of it, of the fact of it's like, no, each time slot has its own different oddities to it or different intricacies to it. And overnights is just kind of like every caller doesn't have to be like, you know, 30 seconds or whatever. And then you try and you're like, okay, wrap it up, get them on, get them off. It's like, no, this is kind of a thing, and it's just like you said, it's all the oddities in one, where each other time slot might have a little bit here, a little bit there that makes it different. Overnight is just kind of like, yeah, just do your thing.
But for it to happen, for it to be and exist as long as it did, the dynamics of that are rare and remarkable, if not impossible. Even if a radio programmer wanted to be live and local overnight, what happens is that's a springboard for a lot of developing ambitious talent. And you get young, talented people who then say, it's enough. I don't want to do this anymore. Or I've developed a loyal following. Pay me more. I'm worth more. That never, ever happened with Les. He never tried to say, I'm going to take my show and what I do, and I'm going to walk across the street and they're going to offer me more money. All he needed, like those wonderful stories go about being on remote and trying in vain to run a cord through the coffee maker to plug it into the hair dryer in the bathroom to somehow get it to the satellite only his friend at United would give him access to get him on the air. That connection with his listener was vital to him. It was vital. And it's the difference between somebody who talks on the radio and a broadcaster in the truest sense of the term. It's the highest compliment I can pay. He was a broadcaster. He spoke out onto terrestrial airwaves that were, to this moment, are going out to his dwarf planet of Pluto that we can only hope is at some point rightfully reinstalled in his memory.
It has
as, been. As a full-fledged planet. But those airwaves that are out in the universe right now, that connection as a broadcaster, whether he articulated it that way or not, it was clear. It was vitally important to him. And for Chicago, And for people in the big business of Chicago radio to have provided that, and for his listeners to have known something was different about that connection, is deeply special.
I love the fact, Dan, that you used the word broadcaster, because it underscores a bigger point that I started to get into earlier. And that is, I'll just point the thumb. I've made fun of Les. I've antagonized Les. Les comes across as a character. What he is that, but he's also a talent. Like, we forget about the fact that this guy, yeah, he does things in his own way, but he is a talented broadcaster. I mean, to do overnights, 5 to 7 hours at a time, there's not a lot of us who could do it as successfully as he does. And I think that that is something that people, I don't know if they forget, but they have to re-realize, Dan, and that's that Les Grobstein was a super talented radio man.
I also think that we have this sort of clause before we speak about, oh, yes, I made fun of him, too. The making fun of him was almost baked in. You know, that goes back to the very first days he was on the radio, that that was part of the character and yeah. part of what it meant and at the same time didn't mean to him to be the butt of jokes, because I think that made the connection with his listener even deeper. I think because his regulars knew he's made fun of, I'm made fun of too. I'm different too. I'm also, there was a shared sensibility that I think it was fundamental to his connection. He never objected to it. He never got angry at people for being the butt of jokes, because that was, he was that guy, and he represented yeah. that person for a lot
his
of
brand.
People.
It was his brand.
Who made it, but he would never have said that, because he didn't think in those terms. He didn't think of it as his brand. That we're saying that. But,
yeah, you're right.
But he was in a lot of ways a beacon for similar souls. Mm-hmm. And it's I hope that that there's the people who don't just feel cast adrift because he's gone.
And it's funny that you mentioned that too, of like his people knew it as well, is that of any show that was the territorial show about your teams and your players and your fans, to where it almost played into it more, where I don't know if it's an actual radio us against the world thing. But if there was ever anything towards, like, to that end, even though we all love Les, and maybe, you know, at times it didn't come out as clearly as it should on the radio, like, there was that aspect of it, because, like, screening calls for all these years, there are times where people would call in and be like, I wish you guys had stopped talking about Les that way on the radio. to where it's,
well,
like,
sure.
it's just like rooting for their own teams. They root for their guy.
It was the last bastion of earnestness. And I know, and John said this well about, for those of us, and I know when you play the clip from Boers and Bernstein, you know, the essence of Boers and Bernstein was sports radio is stupid. The idea of sports radio is stupid. Anybody who would call a sports radio show would have to be stupid, because the entire enterprise is absurd. And that was Les is the opposite of that. And even now, as we take our jobs seriously and we do our jobs, Les had an unflinching earnestness that this was all real. And these 14-year-old feelings, as you described, which I think infantilizes them a little bit, but whatever they were, even in a developed adult mind, whatever that little island was that could still exist, was okay and real and not to be made fun of. And he found the place for that to exist in a healthy and immensely entertaining fashion.
Dan, it's all great insight. Thank you so much. And you did not take the fun out of death. You made death fun today. So
guys,
I do appreciate that.
Thank you. I've been enjoying listening. And Mark, tell your cousin to stay out of the penalty box.
I'll have a talking to with him. And go, Jason. Rock him. Take care.
See you guys.
All right, man. Dan Bernstein's son plays hockey with my second cousin, my cousin's kid. Boy, okay. Why am I even trying to take us through this now?
I gave up on trying to figure out all the, like, you know, like, okay, your cousin's kid is what to you. And
right.
I gave up on that. And, you know, I thought I could go. And obviously that was great with Dan. I thought I could go one weekday without having to hear from that guy. And then, you know, the time that I get to sit in the chair, I'm in, even though you're driving the show from home, you have the metaphorical power chair. I have the actual power chair today.
Yes, you do.
And I'm still getting bothered by Dan Bernstein.
What do you think about all this impeachment stuff? No, I'm just kidding. What?
We don't talk politics on this show ever. No,
okay.
Ever.
All right.
Just poking the bear.
Oh yeah, man. I just sideswipe. Sometimes I'm just like a little test here, a little test there, and then I would circle back to it eventually, and then eventually he would reveal something. That is the beauty of having a conversation with Les. And you know what? Yeah. Dan Bernstein really, just as I suspected he would, Rick, because he friggin' Dan Bernstein, he always says it right, doesn't he? He did say it right about Les. And I had never even thought, Rick, about the idea that there's a pretty sturdy grobber tree out there, you know, a tree of radio people, whether producers or on air. Lawrence Holmes used to produce for Grobber in the overnight. So, I mean, there's so many people who were and given it an opportunity at the microphone that, guess what? Maybe they didn't even deserve, but they got it, damn it.
Yep. Yeah, that was because that's the thing is it's not just the getting to cut your teeth on the board and, you know, probably going to end up making a mistake here or two. Like, it's also just the logistics of like Les is a good person and he wants to hear what the person across the glass is thinking. But sometimes it is quite literally it's a 5-hour show, man. There are going to be moments where you're doing a good show and there aren't calls and that's no reflection on you. You just need somebody to talk to. And that's where a lot of producers get their first time kind of figuring out their voice a little bit on the air of who they are on the air and what they're, you know, what they're trying to say and getting better about, you know, just on air skills.
Quick story before we go to the break. We're going to bring in Hub Arkish here in just a couple of minutes as we continue to talk about Les Grobstein, who passed away yesterday at the age of 69. I went to years ago, a decade ago, maybe even more. I always just say a decade ago with things that were a long time ago. It might have been longer. Who knows? But anyway, about a decade ago, I went to the United Center for a Lady Gaga concert with my girlfriend then. And I run into, of all people, Les Grobstein and his lovely girlfriend, Kathy, at the Lady Gaga concert. So there we were. My girlfriend Kim, and she was meeting Les for the first time, and Les was full, looking for the Lady Gaga's a little bit of a fraud, but Kathy likes her, and I'm more of Madonna, and just doing the whole Les shtick. And so then we parted ways to go to our seats, and then Kim, being really nice about it, she looked up at me, and she was like, "So, what was that all about? what was that?" and
that's a great way to describe
the
Les Grobstein show. What was that?
What was that? what was that? What was he saying? Is that for real? And she was super nice about it. And then I probably tried to explain Grobber, and I probably did not make anything make sense for her. But we will continue to celebrate, laugh, mourn, cry for, if you need to, Les Grobstein. We will do more of that coming up with Hub Arkish. We'll also get into some Bear stuff with Hub Arkish about the latest on the coaching search and the GM search as well. Mark Grody, Rick Camp, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I've got a parakeet here.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Appreciate you checking in. I totally disagree with you. You totally disagree with me. That's fine. We don't want anybody to totally agree with everything we say. That would be kind of boring after a while. But I will take Jim McMahon and the 85 Bears over the current Bears top to bottom. That's not even close. And when everybody says get over the 85 Bears, how about no? I'm not going to get over the 85 Bears. I am going to, as long as I can breathe and I'm above ground, I'm going to talk about that team. Because for 1 year, that was as good a team as there were.
Robert, I promise I will carry the torch for the 85 Bears. That was not an area in which Grauber and I would argue. We do usually pretty sympathetic. Yeah, I take the 85 Bears offense over fill-in-the-blank Bears offense. Yeah, Jim McMahon was pretty damn good, even though people just like to push him down into an injury. No. Jim McMahon was a very good quarterback. So, yes, Les, I will carry that. As long as I am alive, Les, I will talk about the 85 Bears. Along with Rick Camp, I am Mark Grody. We are talking about the death of Les Grobstein. He passed away yesterday at the age of 69. We don't know how he died, and we have been discussing and celebrating and laughing, hopefully with Les today. He is somewhere above us and around us, and hopefully he's getting a nap. Hopefully that he's just sleeping, and he is in just the greatest sports heaven that has ever existed. And we've had a lot of good guests, a lot of great insights, and we'll continue to do it. We're going to talk to Danny Parkins and play some just classic audio that he and I, Parko, that we experienced not too long ago. But right now, I do want to bring in Hub Arkish. He is the executive editor of Pro Football Weekly and Shaw Media and Score Regular and a listener to Les Grobstein just like the rest of us. Right, Hub?
I am, yeah. I don't think Les is napping, though. I think he's frustrated that he can't call in and get his stats right for himself. So, you know, it's...
yeah, you're right.
Just a, you know, an absolute one of a kind and a horrible thing to wake up to this morning. Thoughts with him, of him, you know, with his family and prayers. And special guy, you know, unique and special. And I guess one thing that we have in common is that he started about the same time I did. There's very few of us left. And followed his career, you know, through all of its twists and turns. And of all the people I've ever worked with, he's the one guy who never, ever changed in any way. He was the same guy the day he started as the day he left us. And I think there's something to be said for that, you know, because it was a pretty good guy. Why change?
I never even thought about that. Like, we all need that. Like, the ideal person is somebody that is always the same and that you could depend on being a certain way. And as far as I know in my life, because that's just not realistic to be like that, Les is that guy, the dude who is always the same, Hub. You're right.
Yeah, you know, it could be a little taxing at times when you went past the 25-minute mark on the 68 Cubs, you know. But
a little taxing, I like that.
But overall, I always loved him for it. I always appreciated it. You know, whenever I saw him coming, I knew we were going to talk about something I probably wasn't thinking about until he brought it up. But I was going to be interested by the time we were done. And so many unique things about Les that he's one of those guys that it's almost easier to celebrate his life than it is to mourn his passing. I'm a big believer in a better place, guys. And if anybody earned their spot up there, it's probably Les.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Wisconsin tomorrow for Taco Tuesday at Welsh Ryan Arena at 8 p.m. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com. And actually, for the first time today, we're going to actually transition to a little actual sports a little bit and just, you know, hub with everything going on with the Bears. And today they've got guys from the Colts in to interview Matt Eberflus and Ed Dobbs. You know, from what has been reported over the weekend and as the little bit that we know about the search so far that the Bears have been doing, what have you thought about how they've handled everything?
Well, you know, Rick, honestly, they're talking to good people. There's not a lot leaking out of the room. There's not much to leak out of the room because these are all initial interviews. None of the people they've talked to so far would get hired without a follow-up, without a second interview. And so they're doing a lot of their due diligence. They're getting the information they need to complete the background checks. They're getting initial impressions of how these guys work and who they are. And then you move to the next step. And so the process, it's a good list, you know, on both sides, coaches and GMs, both the ones they've talked to and the ones that we know they've requested permission to talk to and assume they will. And so, you know, I don't know that there's much to form opinions on a report so far, other than it is a very good list, and it's a very varied list. There's a lot of different opportunities there depending on what you're looking for. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've now been told it's up to George, and what he's hearing and what he's thinking, you know, I don't know.
Less. Hub, there are two names that I'm intrigued by, but can't quite get a feel for. One of those is one that the Bears interviewed yesterday for head coach, or maybe it was on Saturday, and that is Nathaniel Hackett. He is the Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator, and the reason on Hackett that it is hard, I think, is for the obvious reason. He is the offensive coordinator for Aaron Rodgers, which obviously means that he may not be the guy that he is good because of. What can you tell me about Nathaniel Hackett and his chances of being a head coach in the NFL and specifically possibly for the Bears?
Well, he's one of the guys that was high on my list if you're going to go with a first-time head coach. And I think that, you know, your point is kind of where we're stuck right now, Mark, is that we don't know how much of it is Rodgers, how much of it is Matt LaFleur, how much of it is Nathaniel Hackett. That's what you run into when you hire these guys. Now, when Matt LaFleur got hired in Green Bay, the big question was, well, how much of it is Sean McVay? And it's turned out that Matt LaFleur, you know, if he's not the coach of the year this year, I don't get it. I mean, the guy's now, he has enough to qualify the winningest coach in NFL history. He runs the whole football team, and he does rely on his offensive coordinator. And I do believe Hackett is calling, you know, many, if not most, or all of the plays. And so Hackett had some stripes before he got to Green Bay. So I'm intrigued by him. But this is where for us to have opinions without being able to be in the room, you know, and hear the guy and talk to him and get a sense, it's hard. I know that the sources and folks I've talked to around Green Bay, they love him. You know, they swear by him. And I think he will be a head coach. Now, is he ready? You know, and is he the best candidate in this? This is a pretty talent-laden pool. I mean, if you think about it, go back over the last few years, whether the Bears were hiring or not, but when you've seen all the top names, when have you seen so many guys that intrigue you? You know, I mean, there's always a bunch of guys that I cross off immediately. There's a few that I would cross off here, but this is a good bunch. I think Hackett, of the first-time guys, is near the top of my list, and yet, you know, really would love to know more. One thing I want to say probably four times before we get done, guys, if they hire the head coach before they hire the GM, this is going to be a disaster again. Period. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, it just, I guess for the reasons I just said, because you're getting all the upfront stuff done, all your due diligence, it makes sense that they're talking to both. They want to express interest in some of these guys so that when they do have their GM, they're not at the bottom of that guy's list, that they know that there's interest there. But you can't, you just want this to work the way that George McCaskey explained it to us, to the extent that we understood what he was explaining. You got to hire the top football guy first, so it makes the head coach thing a lot tougher right now.
As we look at the list, Tub, and obviously it feels like it's much harder for all of us to have any sort of opinion on the GM candidates, just because, you know, there's at least some tangible things we can tell with the either coordinators or whoever, like guys like Brian Daboll or Todd Bowles got a lot of pub this weekend for how their individual units played. But is there a name that sticks out to you for that top executive GM, whatever they're going to end up calling that person? At least from the list that may not have interviewed already necessarily, but at least names that the Bears are interested in.
Yeah, Rick, I mean, there's two names that really stick out to me. But again, you know, without having ever met him or talked to him, it's hard. But this goes back to, I think I talked with Dan and Layla about this last Wednesday, and this goes back to when Les and I were just starting. It's how I was raised in the Jim Finks, Bill Tobin era. And the things that they told me about what made them so successful in evaluating talent and drafting, which is that, first off, they wanted a guy from a winning program. Secondly, they wanted a guy who had been very, very productive. And then third, they wanted a guy who was somewhat traditional, that they weren't drafting on traits, but they were drafting on the player or the scout or the executive. And so the two names that really stick out to me are two guys I've been talking about since Ryan Pace was hired, Rick Smith and Omar Khan. Omar Khan, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the model organ. I don't know. I've said often, I think either the Packers or the Steelers are probably, or the Patriots, one of those three are the best organization in football. But yeah, there's no question the Steelers are one of the top three. You know, three coaches in 50 plus years, two GMs in the last 30 years, you know.
And a bunch of Super Bowls.
Yeah. I mean, they know what they're doing. And Omar Khan has been the director of football operations there for some time now and learned from one of the best. Kevin Colbert probably won't get a lot of Hall of Fame consideration because he's been very low profile, but he should. And that's the guy who trained Omar Khan. Now, I thought that was impossible when Colbert announced his retirement, because I assumed that was why he renounced his retirement, so that Khan wouldn't move on. But now I'm hearing, and again, I should have looked it up since I said the last time his name escapes me, but there's another young guy in the organization that they may have their eye on too, and that would suggest why, you know, Khan is even taking these interviews, and that there may be a real shot at him. As far as Rick Smith, nobody has done better in the first round of the draft over an extended period of time. And I'm talking about a decade, you know, basically from the end of the aughts to the early teens, where one after another, he drafted franchise players in the first round, supplemented them nicely. There are some concerns when I talk to folks about some of his later round picks and some of his organizational hires. But for the most part, again, and these teams winning records. And so to me, these guys should absolutely be at the top of the list, but it's such a different thing from coach that it doesn't just exclude or eliminate any of the other names that they're talking to, because, you know, maybe you've got the next, you know, Jim Finks or Kevin Colbert with somebody that's getting their first shot. You hope for it, but it's a lot tougher to figure out.
No, it really is, because these guys are assistants to the guy that actually does the job, so nobody knows really exactly where their hand is on these things. Last thing, Hall, before we let you go, I think there has been growing intrigue for Brian Daboll, the Buffalo offensive coordinator. What do you think about his prospects and as a prospect?
Well, you can't have watched Saturday night and not be intrigued, you know, and really all season long. He is a top candidate. It may be his time. I think the thing that bothers me a little bit is this is, I believe, his fourth offensive coordinator job and the first time he's had this kind of success. Now, he hasn't been bad in other places. He's not old. He's in his mid-40s. But that's the only thing that kind of nags at the back of my mind. But looking at what he's doing right now and looking at what he's doing with Josh Allen, who's a very similar athlete and talent in terms of arm strength and athletic ability to Justin Fields, I don't know how that would not intrigue you. I also know that he is extremely beloved in Buffalo by the players in the organization, but so is Les Frazier, who's also a candidate, you know, and this is where, you know, winning breeds success and love. So I certainly wouldn't think twice if he got the job. I'd be really excited to see what he was able to do. I just don't know if he's the, you know, there's other candidates that I just see him in different situations that probably intrigue me a little bit more. But I think Dable would absolutely be a solid hire if that's where they went. Now, here's the other issue, though, guys. You can interview these guys, but you can't hire them. And so as long as Buffalo is playing, this is where this gets tricky again. Can you be patient? How long are you willing to wait? You know, can they get by Kansas City next week? We don't know what happens tonight, but we know what the matchups are next week. And so, you know, if they go in and upset Kansas City, nobody in the AFC is beatable. And you get back to that situation, you know, Ryan Pace was in when he got here. Mm-hmm. The guys that he wanted were still, you know, competing and coaching in Seattle and other places. And Seattle went to the Super Bowl and they jumped at John Fox. So, you know, that I don't know what their appetite to wait is. He'd have to be their slam dunk number one if that were to happen.
Hub, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us, man.
All right, guys, take care, and just my thoughts and prayers to everybody who loved Les, and certainly count me in that group.
Thank you so much, Hub. That is Hub Arkish, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly and of Shaw Media, and a stalwart here at The Score. Yeah, we are mourning the loss, celebrating the life of Les Grobstein, who passed away yesterday at the age of 69. Coming up next, we will have Danny Parkins. He and I experienced something that was otherworldly, something we learned about Les not too long ago, throughout an overnight, as a matter of fact. And we will bring that to you next, along with Rick Camp. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Club Dub.
That's just a fun thing.
This is a North Shore Winnetka boy who went to, where did he come from? He was in Kansas or something like that before he came here. He couldn't even make it in Chicago in the beginning.
Yeah! That's a very Grobber line, too. Grobber has what I call, in terms of insult exchanges, he is of Rick Camp, the I know you are, but what am I school of Burns? Where it is that basic, that is quintessential Grobber. Think things like, aw, go suck an egg, or aw, go jump in a lake. Like, those are, and he feels the zing when he does that. So that is our friend Les Grobstein, who unfortunately passed away yesterday at the age of 69. Yes, we have lost the Grobber at the age of 69, a classic, super talented, hilarious character.
Pick
in
up
Chicago.
A pile of stones, put them in your pocket, and jump in the river.
That's it. It's the I know you are, but what am I sense it? We all have a coping mechanism. Grobber is just a classic. That's the way it goes. And Danny Parkins, who is the co-host of our highly rated afternoon show with Matt Spiegel. It's the Parkins and Spiegel show. But Danny Parkins has gotten a big gulp of Grobber in his relatively short career so far at 670 The Score. Is that a pretty good way to characterize it, Danny Parkins? Good afternoon, buddy.
Thank you guys for having me on. I apologize for my voice. I'm day three into battling a little COVID over here, but you guys have sounded great, and no one better, Grody, to have on today than you, and with Rick Camp in studio. I mean,
oh yes,
of course.
What a day! Yeah, you know, so today is actually 5 years for me at The Score. So,
congratulations!
Well, thank you. Weird day. We are mourning the death of Les Grobstein. My 5 years at The Score. My son Owen turns two today. A lot of conflicting emotions in my world.
Oh my God!
But it's funny that you mentioned that, Grody, because like I have had a decent amount. I revered Les because I heard Burnsy talking about how, like, he's a broadcaster and, you know, he's a Chicago radio institution. I'm a radio dork. Like I love that we have local overnights that we are local 24. It's us and WFAN in New York. That's it.
Incredible.
Nowhere else in the country does local sports overnight. And so when I auditioned for Mitch Rosen, I filled in for a week doing Les's show. I took a week of vacation in Kansas City, didn't tell my station in Kansas City, and came in and filled in for Les, and whoo, his audience hated me.
That's a culture shock.
Yeah. Oh, did they hate me? Just like monologuing with like hardcore tense takes.
Danny,
you probably use numbers and stuff too.
Yeah. Oh, can't be. It was. There were present day conversation was all I was interested in. Like callers like calling in like for. And for that, you suck when I'm, like, talking current White Sox. Like, it was a disaster terms of the audience reception. They were so furious that I was taking over for the Grobber and, like, not acknowledging. Like, I'd be like, Danny Parkin's in for Les Grobstein. What do we think about the middle of the Cubs lineup? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just – they had no idea what hit them. But then, I mean, it just – so many things. Like, we did the old bet on whoever finished last in the picks had to do the doubleheader of doing afternoons and then doing overnights and then coming in and do another day of afternoons. And I lost the picks but felt like I won because I got to hang out with Les.
Hell yeah.
For a night. That was when the infamous Mike Chen, he's as Chinese or he's as American as you or I. How much Chinese do you speak? Drop came from. When my wife and I went to the Bahamas for a baby moon before Owen was born, we ran into Les and Kathy at the airport in the Bahamas. Our flight was delayed 9 hours. I got to see Les in the wild, as we described it. And
still talking about the Chicago Sting.
Yeah. And like the four of us just like hanging out in the airport. But then whenever we needed an update on the flight, because they moved us to like three different terminals and it just was an absolute disaster, Les just would go to the front of the line. Like, everybody would be lining up, like, oh, can I get on standby for another flight? Can I change? Does the frequent flyer miles? Like, there would be a line of 75 people, and like my wife and I, she's pregnant. We're not in like any rush to do anything. We're like, they'll get us home eventually. Les would cut the line. He would just go to the front and then just start talking to the gate agent and just completely oblivious that anyone else was there. And I was like, Les, can you do that? He's like, I have over 250,000 miles with United. Like, of course they're going to give me the information. I have preferred status. Grody, I honestly think the most memorable segment of radio I've been a part of since being back at the Score is you and me once the clock struck midnight for the radiothon, man. Like, that was just unbelievable.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, let's go to the audio. This was part of the What About Chicago radiothon starring Danny Parkins and all of his cast of characters, which at that point included me, and we did have Grobber on, and we were digging, and he was revealing. So let's take a listen.
What fruit or vegetable would you take with the number one pick?
I always want to get my potassium. I love bananas. I love the flavor of them. I love banana shakes, banana smoothies. I love bananas. And the first place at the store we ever go to, whether Kathy and I are shopping, whether I'm taking her great dad shopping, is the produce department. And bananas, I love them.
Happy birthday.
So if we're doing a draft, I'm going to grab that right off the bat.
Happy birthday to the father-in-law, by the way. I saw the pictures.
By the way, Willie just celebrated on Sunday his 92nd birthday. I was with him this past day. The guy's incredible. I hope I live close to the age that he is living at, and I hope I have anywhere near close to the energy that this man has.
I'm going to go with avocado. Les, what do you think about the avocado?
It's such a good, it's a high selling fruit, no question about that. And again, they're good in smoothies. They're good to use in different things.
Yeah, toast.
Toast.
I bet you hate that, Les, right? Putting avocado on a toast, that can't be something that
I'm not going to put it on toast, but I'm going to have it separately.
You put butter and jam on toast. That's it, right?
Butter and jam on bread if it's toast. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And jam is good, but I like jelly. What I don't like about jam is it's got the seeds in there, and it can kind of drive you a little crazy.
I think that's the preserves.
My favorite, right, exactly.
The preserves,
I love grape jelly. Give me a peanut butter and grape jelly sandwich. then I'm very happy.
It's what you got, Parco?
I'm going to make my pick in a second. I had follow-up questions on bananas, if you don't mind. You're blitzing through. Yeah. I didn't even tell you that you were on the clock. No, how do you know that I wasn't picking second?
Well, no, but I'm just always worried, too, that I go in my rabbit hole with Grobber, and then we leave you out. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is Danny's thing.
No. Okay. You and Les together, I'm your guest.
Okay?
You come to me whenever you want.
We do go down some interesting routes, don't we, Les?
We've had a few over the years, and the fact that you went to the same school as my son Scott, Illinois State, ISU guys, and you have that in common as well.
Amen.
Do Les, when you look for a banana in a store like Austin Harvest, because again we're trying to raise money to build a permanent structure for that mart, do you go for like a green banana that you can age into, or do you go for one that you're going to eat right away?
If it's dark and it's aged a little bit, I'm going to use that to make smoothies or shakes. And I love making banana shakes. And again, I've been allergic to chocolate, unfortunately, for a long, long time. But I will tell you, the green ones, you take a whole bunch of those, maybe about four or five of them together in a bunch. They'll last longer. You can sit them on the counter and they'll be good for a few days. If they start to darken a little bit, I will use those to make a shake or a smoothie.
That's the way it works. Right? You get them green, you wait a couple of years.
I get the same. That's how I handle my bananas, too.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Right. They last longer.
So
I like all kinds of those produces, per se, but I just love bananas. I have loved it since I was a kid.
I didn't know about this.
And I still do now.
This is interesting. I knew you were – you hate chocolate.
I don't hate it. I love it. It doesn't love me.
Oh, right. And you hate alcohol. And like, these are like things. Like, Les does not drink, never has, never will, right?
Don't smoke either.
Don't smoke. Right. What do you do? So, and now you throw
that leaves only one other kind of vice, really, right?
Ooh, so you do, you do
cocaine?
Drugs. Yeah, cocaine.
Never mind, we're not going to go there.
Okay, we're not going to talk about your cocaine
show.
Habit. Right?
I know it's at this hour, but this is a very,
we'll
very
talk about your
show.
Cocaine habit another time. Danny,
my bad.
Like I said, I don't do drugs.
No, of course, sorry. No. I stopped listening for like 45 seconds. I forgot.
Look at it this way, Danny. We still have a lot of time to go here, so we're basically taking off some of that time.
Wait, hold on a second. What did we leave out if we left out, if drugs is not it, what is it that we left out?
Drugs, alcohol.
But those are not your vices.
Right. So what is, do you have a vice?
What causes you to be conceived?
Your vice is sex.
You asked.
That's true.
Your vice is sex.
You asked.
Oh my god. That was just, I am just objectively laughing here at that. I have not heard that in so long. Just
between that and the like,
you asked,
how does he decide to make it blatant to you? How do you get conceived?
Right. What are you talking? That was just, oh, what a great way to wrap up this show, this crazy show today. Is Danny still there? Are you still there, Parco, or are you gone? Parco gone. Okay. Rick Camp's still there. I am Mark Grody, and we have been celebrating. I don't even know how to characterize what we've been doing. We've been laughing and celebrating Les's life, and the sadness is well within me and will probably leak out very soon. So rest in peace to Les Grobstein. Rick, thank you for doing this. Your studio work is the best.
Thank you for letting me be part of it. And also, Sean on the other side of the glass has done awesome work today, doing a lot of this on the fly. So
thank you,
more
Sean
than a hat
Anderson.
Tip to Sean.
Yes, thank you, Sean. Thank you. Yes, so this whole show has been on the fly. and trying to figure it out. And obviously, we had planned a completely different show. So Sean Anderson crushing it. Same with Rick Camp. Hub Arkish was on. John Greenberg was on. David Schuster was on. Dan Bernstein. Danny Parkins. Hope I didn't forget anybody. Thank you so much. Zach Zabin is coming up next. I understand that Zach will have on George Offman, who also a great one of Les Grobstein's best friends as well. So thank you to everybody who listened. Thanks to everybody who texts. I appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you soon on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Zach is next.
Technical foul on Les Grobstein. His second, and he's gone.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.